Welcome to a lot of new faces. I like to see visitors. I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "Horses are the proof that God loves us." Now, I'm not sure about the theological truth of that statement, but I do not disagree with that. There we are. From a very young age, I adored horses. When I would visit my grandparents, I would spend the better part of the morning trying to catch this little Welsh pony, Sooner, who did not share my enthusiasm for spending the day together. She and I, once saddled and caught, we would begin the constant disagreement that would be our day between the direction I wanted her to go and the quickest route she could find back to the barn. We both were very stubborn, and this was quite a challenge of wills. You see, I had this great plan for her. We were going to spend the day together. I was going to take her beyond the confines of her pasture. We were going to explore parts of the farm that she didn't frequently go to. We'd take a break down by the creek and connect. Then we'd pass by the house on the way home, and I'd sneak her an apple or some other treat. It was going to be a great day. But instead, here we were, arguing with one another the entire day. We'd get back to the barn exhausted, the both of us. Now, as I grew older, give it a second for this overly patriotic outfit to sink in, but if you can bring your eyes down from the sequins and white pants, it's the horse I want to talk about. Over the years, I rode many different horses in exhibition rides and horse shows, but none quite compared to Pippin's Lady. She was a tall, beautiful sorrel mare, powerful, but as gentle as a lamb. Now, like humans, horses have distinct personalities that will affect the relationship that a horse and a rider will share. And as with human relationships, these relationships require an investment of time. But a rare and beautiful thing can happen when horse and rider develop a mutual admiration and respect for one another. They begin to move in such beautiful tandem that the two almost look like they're one body. Lady and I shared that kind of relationship. We had that communication and that connection. In fact, sometimes she was so quick to obey my instructions that I was tempted to think that maybe she was somehow reading my mind. But the truth is, Lady had learned to read my movements. You see, before asking her to turn sharply, I would shift my weight in that direction. If I was going to ask her to stop, I would lean back in the saddle. Now, these movements were so subtle, I didn't even realize I was doing it. But Lady did. So eager to please her master, she had learned to read my movements so that she anticipated my instruction, and when the command was given, her obedience was instantaneous. As you can imagine, my enjoyment of riding was much greater with Lady. We had this great relationship, this connection, and honestly, I think you could say that Lady lived a more fulfilling life because of her trust and obedience in me. When you ride Western pleasure, or show Western pleasure, you ask your horse to do some pretty crazy stuff. Run to this point in the arena and spin around on your hindquarters. Then come over here and give me a skidding stop. And we're going to back up, and we're going to do a figure eight with a flying lead change. None of this can make sense to the horse. But that never really seemed to matter to Lady. She knew that I knew what we were doing, and that was enough for her to trust me and obey. I think if I had to pick one word that could describe the difference between these two horses, I would use the word peace. You see, nothing about my relationship with Sooner was peaceful. Everything was a challenge. With Lady, that was completely different. Everything was peaceful. I didn't have to catch Lady. She ran to the gate when she would see me coming. And I could bless her in ways that I never could with Sooner. Things I wanted to do for Sooner, but she never trusted me enough. I could I could check Lady all over for scrapes and cuts. I could look in her mouth. I could brush her down for hours to get that thick winter coat out so she'd be cooler in the summers. I could clean out her hooves. By the end of it, her eyes would be half closed like she was coming out of a massage. Not so with Sooner. Sooner, always the skeptic. Wanted to be close enough to see what she could get from this relationship, but just out of arm's reach in case I asked her to do something she wasn't interested in. Now, both of these horses had, on some level, accepted my authority. Both would eventually take the bit, and neither ever tried to throw me. But that's where the similarities ended. If you are a Christian in this church, then you have, on some level, accepted the authority of Jesus Christ, right? That's what it means to be a Christian. It's not just about believing that Jesus was the Son of God. The demons believe that and tremble. It's about accepting his lordship in your life. It's about acknowledging him as your master. It's about taking the bit and handing him the reins. But many of us, I would say most Christians, then spend the rest of their lives struggling against his daily instruction. I mean, we're okay as long as he's got us pointed in the direction that we thought we should be going anyway, right? Well, unless he tells us to slow down in that direction, we don't want to hear that either. And heaven help him if he tries to tell us to turn a way that doesn't make sense to us. We are not down for that. We need to be in on the plan here. We need to understand what's going on. And so many of us spend our entire lives struggling against the very one who knows what we're doing and what the end result is supposed to be. Then what happens? Well, we've taken matters into our own hands. We want to be in charge of our destiny, but now that stresses us out, because what if I made the wrong decision? What if I was supposed to turn left back there instead of right? Am I on the right track? I can still feel that God's pushing me this way, but that doesn't seem right. So I'm going to go this way, and I'm just asking that if there's a cliff, just pull real hard on the reins. I'm ignoring your daily instruction, but just keep me from killing myself. And we live this existence that causes stress and anxiety. And what does that produce in us? Reduces the immune system, causes sickness, psychological or neurological disorders, insomnia, depression, anxiety, things our bodies were never meant to handle because we were created to trust and obey and walk in that faithfully, to cast our cares on him. Don't shoot the messenger, Jesus' words, not mine, right? When we are living that existence, we are utterly lacking in peace. Now, there are two types of peace that I'd like to talk about today. There's peace with God, and then there's the peace of God. As a Christian, we have accepted the peace with God, right? The book of Romans, Paul tells us that before Christ came and died for our sins and restored that relationship, we were literally at odds with our own God. But because of his redemptive power, we can now live at peace with God. So as Christians, God no longer looks at us and sees sinful man, sees our sin. He sees us, as Pastor Keith said, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we can boldly enter his presence. We can run to our daddy God. We can sit in his lap and talk to our Abba Father, tell him what's on our heart. That Jesus came so that he could restore that peace with God. But most Christians never experience the other peace. You see, because the peace of God doesn't come from the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. That comes from full submission to the Spirit of God. And it is only through that full obedience, full submission, that we experience the very peace of the Holy Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, when Jesus came, when he left this earth, rather, he said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, My peace I give you. And I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He says, peace I leave you. I have come to be your sacrifice for sin. That has reestablished the peace that you needed, that relationship with God Himself. Then he says, my peace I give you. Well, hold up. That sounds like a whole nother thing, doesn't it? What did the peace of Jesus look like? It was deep. It was abiding. It was constant, never wavering. It was that peace that allowed him to stand before a crowd that was threatening to stone him, and instead of panicking, he walks straight through the crowd. It was that peace that allowed him to stand before the Sanhedrin, being accused of crimes that were punishable by death, and not say a word. Like a lamb to slaughter, it says. He didn't open his mouth. Not because, like the lamb who doesn't know what's about to happen, Jesus knew, but he had no reason to fear. Remember when he stood before Pilate? And Pilate gets so worked up because he can't get a rise out of Jesus. He can't get Jesus to plead for his life. And he says, don't you realize that I hold the power to either free you or crucify you? And then Jesus speaks up. Time out, Pilate. Let's just get one thing straight. You only have authority because my daddy gave it to you. Total peace. Utter peace. And Jesus says, he will give us that peace, his peace. Peace that passes understanding, that confuses the world. That kind of peace. He goes on to say that I don't give as the world gives. Well, how does the world give? Namaste. Happy holidays, peace. The world wishes us peace. The world sometimes promises us peace, but the world really never gives us a method by which we can attain that peace. And Jesus says, no, I don't give like that. When I tell you I'm going to give you something, I give you the means by which you can accomplish it. I'm leaving, but I am sending you the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the very way that I maintained this peace when I was here on earth. How did Jesus have the peace he did? Remember, he was in every way human. Yes, he knew the future. He understood more about why he was here. But he had that peace because the very Spirit of Almighty God resided in him and told him everywhere to go, everything to say, everything to do. You don't have to be very stressed when you're just obeying, when you're following. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and there are hundreds of people needing healing, how did he pick that one guy? Remember, he healed one that day. The Holy Spirit told him. That one right there. No, not that one. Jesus went everywhere he went, said everything he said because the Spirit of God led him, and that's how he followed. He says, actually, in another area of John that he only does what he sees the Father doing, and what the Father does, he then joins him there. That's how Jesus maintained his peace. In the same way, Lady lived a very peaceful existence because she didn't have to worry about where we were going. She wasn't so concerned about the destination as she was about the process, about the relationship, about the connection that we shared. So to her, life was pretty peaceful. So let me ask you, does your peace confound the world? Do you find yourself explaining to people why it is that you're so calm in the middle of turmoil in your life? I see some heads nodding. That's a good thing. Can you honestly say that you are at peace with your decisions? You don't lay awake at night worrying because you know that you are following the Holy Spirit in every way that you can. You are not only listening to the jerks of the rain, but you're even trying to follow those subtle movements because you want to be so in line with the Spirit of God. I got a phone call this week that one of our church members was in a pretty significant car accident. Airbags deploy. The car is not drivable. I reached out to this fella later in the week on Friday. Wanted to check on him. I said, how you holding up? What do you need? How you getting around? This was the response. Pastor Jonathan, good to hear from you. I've been praying for you all week. How are you? What? What just happened? He was not going to let his peace be stolen. He knows that he is following the very God of the universe who holds everything in the palm of his hands. Why worry? That's beautiful. Wouldn't we all love to live life that way, in total, utter peace? How many of you can honestly say in your life, as I can, that sometimes I know the direction he's pulling? But let's play this out just a little bit longer, because this really seemed right to me. Instead of saying, let me stop and make sure that I'm on the right track. If I need to go back a little bit, I will swallow my pride and do so. And I think many times we're at that place where we have fought against what we know God was leading us to do. And then we get to a crossroads on this road that we never should have been on, and we can't get him to speak up. Which way do I turn, right or left? And we're baffled that he won't speak to us when he's been telling us all along, the turn you missed was way back there. And you knew what I was asking you to do, but it didn't make sense to you. It didn't fit your perfect plan. Like Lady, who would obediently follow without worrying, does this make sense? I don't quite understand why he's asking me to do these things, to turn this circle, to stop here. But that didn't matter to her. I hope that we can all strive to have that type of obedience and understand that peace. I believe in a God who answers prayer. And I believe that when we ask for that peace that passes understanding, he will show us how to attain that. So if you would just bow your heads with me, and if you would honestly raise your hand, if you are among those who would just like prayer for, that you need that kind of peace in your life right now. Just real quick, put it up and put it down, because I want to pray for you. Thanks. Let's pray. Father God, holy, righteous God.